Okay, we'll get started because we're running about 10 minutes late just right now. And what we'd like to do is just get the people who were designated to report back to us. We'll just hold off on this slide until I'm finished. That's Mary's show that's going up there right now. So we'll start off with the first question, which was to report back on the format. And I wonder if Michelle's group, Anne, if you could let us know where you were at. Yes, go ahead, Anne.
Thank you. Regarding public hearings in which there's a limited, in which there is limited attendance, the traditional model is desirable for presentations, but followed by a shift to the dialogue model for the public discussion, where the space allows. We did recognize that the size and shape of the space will dictate to a large degree what the arrangements are, depending on the venue. We also thought that the note taker should be included in the circle. This was to facilitate transparency in the process and also to show that the public that we were taking their comments back, we were taking what they said actually on board and making that visible. For public hearings in which there was a large turnout, the formal model was seen as being more appropriate. What we thought there should be staggered seating to allow people a greater chance of actually being able to sort of see forward. A further suggestion was also for a semicircular arrangement of the chairs with a break in the center. This arrangement would allow presenters to talk directly to the public and also facilitate a slightly greater degree of dialogue than a very formal straight line setting.
Okay.
That was it for that one.
Fine, thank you. The next... next group is Greg Darren.
Thanks. Our group had some... or indicated some reluctance to answer questions from the audience. It was felt that the facilitator needed to stipulate at some point that we're there to receive presentations and not to enter into debate with people at that time. That brought up a question, which is, what if there are no presenters at a public hearing? What's going to be expected of the assembly members who are there? Should we start engaging the people who, the public who's there, and start asking questions about what they would like to see in an electoral system? We were a bit unclear on that. As for the format of the presentations, the dialogue model was preferred, provided that the audience is relatively small, and as long as the circle opens up for presentations. And it was made clear that the assembly members don't need to challenge all people in the circle because some people may just be there to witness the proceedings. And in the end, we felt we could leave it to the judgment of the facilitator to decide whether we would go with a traditional or a dialogue model for any given public hearing based on the expected number of attendees and the number of presenters.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of comments on what you were saying. The issue of the questions is not to promote discussion, but simply to get clarification on what may have been said by a presenter. The second thing, if no presenters are there, but there is an audience, there will be a videotape that will be played to provide some background information on the assembly, and then you will have... as a result of the further feedback that's coming this morning, the questions that or the information that we're trying to seek, and so that'll be expressed to members of the audience that are there, and that should help to get the process underway. If there are no presenters, then clearly we're going to be trying to go into a discussion dialogue basis. Thank you. Kara's group, Priya.
Thanks. Our group felt that the traditional model would be better. It provides us with a clearer focal point for the presenter. We've also felt that it makes the assembly members more visible. And for the assembly members, the tables provide us a space for taking notes or writing down questions that we may have later on. And we also felt that the tables provide a certain comfort level. Sometimes sitting in a circle may make people feel self-conscious or exposed, was the word that came up. We also felt that the circle dialogue model would be beneficial if it was in a smaller group, that it would probably work. We were a little bit hesitant with the shifting of the seats, though. So that's it.
Thank you very much. And I think we have we should have one more on the format question, and that Anne in Russell's group.
Yes, we also thought that the traditional model was most appropriate, but we had strong consensus that creating a hybrid approach to it would be great by putting seats in more of a semicircle to allow for greater discussion, and that's come up. We also thought that if we took the interim report and enlarged it to poster size and put it on poster boards, then people coming into it could read the interim report before the meeting, and it would create sort of a dialogue. They could walk around and read it, and people could start talking about it. And we also thought if we enlarged a summary of the five main electoral systems on a poster-sized board, they could also sort of get a quick education on what these systems were, so they would understand what the presenters were talking about. That might be in addition to a hand copy. And we also thought it'd be important to include a copy of the shared values.
Okay. Thank you. We'll go on to question number two. And that was preparation, I think, was the item two. Is there a question, Diana? Derek, you're on number one. I mean, everybody may have gotten to number one, but what I wanted to do was get the four assigned groups on number one and then go to the four assigned groups on number two and then the four assigned groups on number three so that we get a little bit of a picture of what's going on, and then maybe we can come back if there's some additional points to be made from the other groups.
We thought that was our assignment.
And so you're number one.
We thought that was
okay, and that's Derek. Fine, but with your... Go ahead, Derek. I don't want to... So on format.
We identified that there would likely be two types of people coming to these sessions, so that they'd probably have different expectations and different needs at them. And that would be presenters, political hawks who've been following the process so far, know all the terms, know the acronyms, and really want to make our minds up for us. And then general curious public who are just curious about what we've been doing, what's going on, what changes might be made, and won't be as comfortable, as familiar with the political jargon that we've been throwing out of these here. And given this, we thought it would be nice to avoid formal settings, really for the general curious public, and especially in smaller hearings in smaller towns, just to make a more familiar atmosphere, make a more more comfortable setting for discussion to evolve. But that this would really be difficult in larger areas such as Vancouver, such as Victoria, to just, if you've got a number of presenters, say 10 people each with a 15, 20-minute presentation apiece, you're not going to get to the dialogue, which is a shame, but that will be secondary to the fact that these people really have presentations to make. So in the larger centers, a traditional format would be more desired.
Okay, thank you. I'd like then to go on to question number two, which is the preparation that we were asking you to do some thinking about. And I'll start with Cameron's group, Anne Davis.
For the preparation for the members, we felt that we need to use the handouts and resources that are given. And we need to know who will be there, who will be giving submissions, and the presenters, who the facilitator from the assembly staff will be, and the host, and that we need to know if we're going in a different district, the location and the directions to that location before the meeting. And we need to, before the meeting, a few days before the meeting, review the media training presentations that we have, and on the day to dress appropriately, use our lanyards, and have notes ready to go.
Okay, thank you. Can I go to Russell's group? Anne, again, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm from Michelle's group.
Yeah. Well, I've got Russell's group, Anne, question number two. So I guess I made the mistake. That's why Derek had to butt in. So carry on, Anne.
Okay, so to the answer, do you have any concerns about things you might be asked? We said that we had a lot of issues. Certain members had issues about whether they'd be asked specific detailed questions about systems, concerns about whether they should be revealing their own opinions, and also we wanted a clarification of what was partisan, what was considered partisan. Things that we need for preparation, we thought that it might be useful to have an electoral system cheat sheet, a chance to meet earlier if possible to discuss things, if something, a question should come out of one of the presentations, and possibly meet for dinner, if that works. Presentations and presenter information well in advance. And a reminder that the members are a team on the panel and that we should be supporting each other, especially in response to answering questions.
Okay, then. Could you just add a little bit to the cheat sheets?
The cheat sheets, a cheat sheet on each of the electoral systems, so like a summary sheet that we could have.
Right. The fact sheets.
The fact sheets, sure.
Okay. Thank you. Amanda's group, Edith?
Okay. We discussed what we would do if nobody showed. We decided that it was reasonable if we waited an hour and then just adjourned the meeting. If there were no formal presentations, we thought that you could just at that point open the discussion up for general discussion amongst the people that attended. We did have a question on whether or not the facilitators will have some method of keeping track of the floor presenters, people that came that had not previously submitted, and what the format would be for getting those people and how much time would be allotted for them, so obviously assuming that there is time left after the formal presentations. Everybody should be prepared to talk to the media, knowing that the media will be there, and be well prepared for any questions that the media or the public has to ask or feels that they want to ask. We've all been given information on how to talk to the media and our information package. The topics we should not discuss are the conclusions of the assembly, because we have none, and any of your personal opinions, because anything that we say as a personal opinion is actually an opinion of the assembly, and not enter into any political discussions. Other than those topics, we thought almost anything that we have learned is fair game, and we should be prepared to answer questions on it. An example was a question such as, who are you to decide for BC? What should be happening? And a typical answer that we came up with was, we are not deciding. Our recommendation is based on public opinion and input, and the public will decide at referendum if we decide that a change is necessary. We agreed with the person, and I can't remember who it was, that said that we could have a survey that goes to the public that attends it, so that those not prepared to make a formal presentation and not comfortable with it can express their views on the key issues.
I'll let her speak.
And that we should all remember that these are public hearings, and our main focus is listening to the public, not expressing our own views.
Thank you, Edith. Anne, can we go back to you now?
We felt it was important for members to review their notes, because it will be a gap in time between when we finish studying here and when we go to the public presentations. Also to use friends and spouses to just trial questions out on a very small basis. And then if there are opportunities for sort of almost mini opportunities in the community, talking to very small groups, this would also help to prepare us for the larger groupings at the public meetings. And also to be aware of where we can get the information from. We were talking about the cheat sheets, the fact sheets. While we need to have a wide knowledge, we have to be aware we may not be able to answer every question. And if we're aware of where we can look, we have the reference source with us where we can put our hands on the information when we need it. We felt that was something which should make people feel more secure as well.
Good, thank you. And last for this item, Paul.
Thank you. Our group focused a fair bit of attention on the questions that the public might ask. And they range from questions about the mandate, questions such as why can't we elect a premier. We also felt there was questions that may be of a personal grievance nature, people with access to grind. And they may actually be asking questions like why are you wasting taxpayers' money and that sort of type of question. We also talked about how we need to focus on topical questions, questions that are topical to the mandate, and we need to encourage dialogue around those type of questions. We also anticipate that we would have questions that were off topic, questions and statements that are off topic, and they may be somewhat related to the political system, but they may not be related to the mandate of the assembly. And the group felt that it was important to respectfully receive that type of information, and we have a suggestion that we have a parking lot where we can maintain that information but keep the dialogue going on the assembly business, but nevertheless maintain those very good comments that we might receive that are off mandate. So we'll make that recommendation. We also felt that there's going to be a fair number of questions on process there on the referendum, and we need to be prepared for that, and as well technical questions about what does proportionality mean, and so we need to be prepared to answer those type of questions. I guess in general we felt the facilitator, most of the questions should be directed to the facilitator, and who can then redirect the question if necessary to the members.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I just see the manual that we're going to try to send out to you in another week to 10 days has increased quite a bit. But the suggestions that are coming back, and I'm looking forward to the sheets that have been completed and not reported in here, getting back to us, because there's lots of very valuable information in what you're bringing forward. Just looking at the kinds of questions we might ask the public or the kinds of information we're seeking, I'll go to, in Mark's group, George.
Well, my group got even with me. I nominated them yesterday to do the report, and they got together and decided it was my turn. The questions we had, what question would you like answered by the public? And what we decided was questions that clarify points that the in the presenter's presentation. Citizens and assembly members may ask questions of the presenters which clarify the points raised in the presentation. And then there was a 50-50 split on whether we should ask questions of the public. And it seemed that most people felt that that should be for a public, a separate public hearing or town hall meeting. They also felt there should be a questionnaire, a survey type that would, on the public's opinion on general values.
Thanks, George. And then the next person I have on this item would be in Terry's group, Linnell.
Thank you. We had also some questions that we would want the public to be able to answer. For example, how they... or do they want to change? How do they feel about the current system? And then we wanted a way of finding out their values and needs regarding proportionality, local representation, riding size. And we thought, like somebody else had mentioned, that a survey would be a good way to find this out, especially from those members of the public who come to the hearing and don't present. Would be an opportunity for them to have their views put across.
Okay, thank you. And again, I got you down, Paul, twice here. I don't know if you were to report on this for questions.
I certainly could. Our group felt that that it's important that the questions be focused around the public's values and our own values. And I think we should also provoke some discussion around how values play out when there's important trade-offs. And so we might just ask some leading questions about around values concerning representation and proportionality.
Thank you. Derek, maybe I could let you go in with number question three there and see what you have on that, because I kind of got you identified for this question.
Our group picked what features are important electoral systems specifically. How important is local representation? Is proportionality important? And we thought that given that not everyone at the meetings is going to be a political hawk, we'd want to explain this a little more, maybe put in terms of votes to seat ratio and whatnot. Under a present system, do you feel an MLA can effectively represent your interests? What kind of politics do you want to see in BC? And there's some concern over these questions that they would bring up more feelings about the current government and feelings about politicians and personally in particular. So it would be very tricky to balance out what we're trying to get, which is just how do you like politics as a whole, like our political system, the systems of discussion, rather than real personal issues. Excuse me. This relates back to where we were on question two, if I may, which is that even if things do get partisan and there were comments made, God damn it, they closed my hospital and whatnot, that we can draw values from those statements, and that while these may seem to be off topic, we can draw relevance from them, which is very important.
Thank you. Well, I think there's been a lot of very good information. Is there anything that someone wants to add to what's already been said? I know we'll get all the sheets back, but is there something you want to bring forward to the Assembly at this point?
Did you want to hear from... It's Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Our group looked at the questions of questions on the for the public. I don't know that our sheets made it up to the front.
Did Not you want yet, to... but you proceed.
Okay. Our group, as I say, looked at questions for the public, and in no particular order, we have quite a list of questions that the group came up with, so I'll just read through them quickly. What do you value in an electoral system? Do you want local representation? What is important to you as a voter? What do you value about the role of the MLA? Do you feel a change is needed in our electoral system? What do you like about the current electoral system? Do you want to vote for a candidate, a party, or both? How important is small party representation in the legislature? This isn't specifically related to the voting process, but to the assembly process. And are you confident in the assembly process? What is the minimum percentage of votes necessary for winning a seat in the legislature? A question related to district magnitude. Are more representatives over a larger area as good as one representative in a smaller area? Will a change in ballot structure hinder enhanced voter turnout? What do you hope will happen if there is a change in the electoral process? How do you feel about coalition, consensual, minority governments? Do you prefer a government that gets things done quickly or takes longer but makes a more consensual decision? Are there circumstances where you feel your vote is wasted? Do you think a candidate should win with more than 50% of the vote, i.e. 51%? Would you like candidates within the same party to compete against each other? Do you feel immediate election results are important? How do you feel about voting twice? How do you feel about combining electoral systems, i.e. a proportional system and our current system? How would you feel about voters in a different region using a different voting system? And finally, how do you feel about ranking candidates during the voting process?
Thank you. Leanne? No? Mo?
I was thinking, if with approval, you know, when we go to some areas with high concentration of minorities, like Richmond, Surrey, maybe Vancouver East, should we take along some translators? So we, you know, to attract people, maybe let them feel more inclusive in this process. Maybe they have a great idea or a great suggestion, but if they can't communicate it to us, I think it'll be something valuable that is lost.
And it may be possible, too, that some of the assembly members can help fill out that task, because we have a diverse group in this room as well. But that's a good suggestion. Is there anything else that you want to add to what we've heard? I'd like to then or you want to say something? You want to call on Mary? We'll call on Mary just to give you a little bit of information on what's coming. If the slide could come up, please.
Okay. Everyone's been wondering what's been going on, what we've been planning for in Prince George. So I'll just give you a little brief picture of what we're looking at doing. I've offered, as well as Doug Waller and Jim McConaughey and Evelyn Morrison and Michael, the Northern people, that to help out in putting on some different events in Prince George. And so far, what we've got lined up is on the Friday, June 25th, we have a Chamber of Commerce luncheon planned, and Jack is going to come up and speak at the Chamber. He's going to be the guest speaker. So any members that are coming into Prince George on Friday, you're more than welcome to come to the luncheon. You would just contact the Chamber of Commerce and purchase a ticket as normal. And it would be nice if you wore your name badge as well. We don't know if the location as of yet. You can also email me for further information on that. We're looking at a lecture or a luncheon at the University of Northern BC, and Doug Waller is looking into that. Do you want to speak on that real quick, Doug?
It's going to happen. Ken Carty will be speaking there. Correct, Ken?
Thanks, Doug. And then on the Friday evening, we're going to have a reception, and the reception will be at the Coast Inn of the North, and it's going to be really nice set up for you. And we're inviting some of the city representatives, city council, and some other business people in the community, so that you can meet with them and talk to them about the area and maybe some of the challenges that they have in the North. And if you remember what David Baxter said, we have a lot of different issues. So it might be a good opportunity for you to have a glass of wine and wander around and talk to them. We also have some music for the evening. Pianist David Spruill, he's going to be there for about an hour and a half. He's just entered the Guinness Book of Records as of, I think it was November. And so that was a big feat. He played 56 hours straight on the piano and broke the record. So we're pleased that we have David for the evening for you. On Saturday, there'll be our normal agenda, and meeting will be at the Civic Center, and you'll receive all that information from the administration, from Kathy. And you'll have your breakfast there and your lunch as usual, like we do here. However, what we thought we would do, rather than having dinner in the evening, we would plan some events outside, and we would sort of share the business in the economy of Prince George rather than giving it all to one hotel. So what we thought we would do is, and that was in fairness to all, is to have you go out to the different restaurants, enjoy the different flavors of Prince George, and when you come back on Sunday morning, you can tell us all about it. So we did have some menus put together. We brought some menus down from some of the more popular restaurants in Prince George. That's not all the restaurants. You're not obligated to go to those restaurants. You're more than welcome to look them up in the phone book and go to whichever one you like. However, we wanted to give you an idea of where you might want to go and what your budget might want to be. And that will give us an idea. We can also let the restaurants know we have 30 people coming to your restaurant tonight, or 40 or 50, whatever. And I know some of the sheets have already been filled up pretty good. So that'll give us an idea of how to handle things on that end so that they're not surprised if you arrive there and not have enough food or enough staff. So that's the idea there. And there are a number of restaurants not listed. The typical keg is not listed. And we have about 4 Greek restaurants. So just let me know if you have a preference, and I can tell you what's out there. Let's see what else. We also are going to assign a volunteer, a assembly member, to go out to the different restaurants with you and enjoy dinner with you and answer any questions. And we thought that would be a nice touch, right, Tina? And and then after dinner, of course, you can go wherever you like. And there's different venues. There's the Cadillac Ranch, which Paul was interested in, the country western dancing. Legion, right next door to the Coast Inn of the North, and that's where the reception is. There's the Monk Bar, Generator, and what have you. We're also going to have an opportunity at the Coast Inn as well. We have some entertainment planned from 7:30 to 9 with some young fiddling students that are going to come in and play, and they range from 5 years old and up for an hour. And then after that, we're going to swing into a jam session. So anybody that likes to play country and western music and bluegrass, they're more than welcome to bring their instruments and join in. And that will be a fun time for all there. And as well, you can go dancing out in the community, and we also have a karaoke set up at one of the other hotels. So there's a list of places that you can, I'm just moving right along here fast, I know, where you can go visit. There's the Exploration Place, the Railway Museum, Fort George Park, Two Rivers Art Gallery. The Art Gallery is just outside the door from where we're meeting at the Civic Center. So on our breaks, you can go over there and have a look and see what's there. It's a wonderful facility. And, of course, there's the Maggie Mae Golf Course, and Jim McConaughey is a partner in that and has, do you want to speak to that for a minute, Jim?
Yes, I've set aside Friday and Sunday for all assembly members to go golfing if they want, bring their families. And if their families want to go golfing while we're in the assembly, more than welcome to.
So they can contact you if they want to get involved with golfing. And, of course, there's lots of shopping. We have some huge mega stores there, and they're listed up on the board here, but you can ask us all about that. And so whatever else comes along, we'll let you know. And the restaurants that you have signed up downstairs that have, in the concourse, that's given us an idea, and we'll take that idea with us to be able to let the restaurants in Prince George know how many's coming. So, Donna.
Isn't there a casino there?
I forgot the casino.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that. There's a casino right downtown, right within walking distance of all the hotels. Absolutely. Tanis.
Mary, on the Friday night reception, you mentioned that you'd be inviting city council and some members of the business community. Mm-hmm. And I'm a manager of a nonprofit organization, and I just find that we often don't get invited
actually
to receptions. So it would be nice
there
to have
will
a
be
wide
some.
Range.
Yeah. Okay. There absolutely is already people that are invited from the nonprofit organization. And if you do have any other ideas, let me know, and I'll certainly look at that. Julie.
I wondered if you would speak to us about transportation for the weekend. You're talking about getting to these restaurants. I don't know the configuration of the city relative to between where we're staying and the meetings and the restaurants.
Most of the restaurants are within walking distance. The hotels are within walking distance. And those that you do need to take a cab to, it's not that far, maybe within 3 to 4 miles. So you could carpool, and we will let the cabs business companies know that you're coming, and to be prepared, so they've got drivers out there. Okay, so that's what we're doing to try and help out the assembly, and we'll keep working on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary, and the members from Prince George. I've only got about 2 more minutes. We do have a preliminary statement completed. You will be able to get it on your way out as you leave. Brad has suggested, which is not a bad suggestion, by the way, that you take your old one and leave it on the desk or leave it on the top of the desk so that we can recycle. and so that it doesn't get confused with the other one that you have. But in any case, when you take it home, rip it up and throw it away. But you will get your brand new, fresh preliminary statement, the one that you decided on this morning as you leave. Barbara Cooney is ready to go and very excited because it's her 46th wedding anniversary today. And thank you, Barbara. The Knowledge Network that's been with us all day, starting April 1, they're going to be doing three-minute vignettes on about the Citizens' Assembly. And I believe that's it. I just want to make a big thank you to all of you, Ken and Campbell, Susanna and I, and all the facilitators are going to take our lunch into a meeting so that we can follow up from the kinds of things that we've heard you say over the last little while and today. So therefore, we won't be at lunch with you. What I want to say on behalf of all of us, particularly myself, if I can be so personal, is to thank the members of the Assembly. Had we recruited the best headhunters in the world and put advertisements in all the papers in BC, we could not have recruited 160 members who are as dedicated and as passionate about our job as the 160 members here today. And I thank you very, very much for being as good as you've been. And last and secondly, if I may, Leo says, make sure you take your tent cards. I also want to thank my colleagues. We collected together 11 or 12 people who have just absolutely performed magnificently, and our 13 facilitators. This has been a really, really, really great staff. And again, we really lucked out. They're absolutely superb people, and I've never worked with a group that's been better. So to all of you, to all of them, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you at the hearing. See you in Prince George.